You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, Jim and Zaylor and Jamal back on the air for the last time, folks. As we announced last week, this will be our last show. It's been an enjoyable one. I've done almost 200 shows. Zaylor and Jamal came in at different points throughout the show, but we've had some fun with this, giving different points of views and things of that nature. So let's just start out by saying hello to everybody, Jamal and Zaylor.
Hey, happy Sunday, everyone.
Hello, welcome to the last show.
So at any rate, yeah, so it is our last show, and like I said, because in case we get too jammed up at the end, we've endured it. We're glad that the listeners that have participated with us and taking the time from their Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, and not to mention the fact have shared their comments. We've had callers over the years. We've had special guests over the years. And it's been great. It's been fun. But it's time at this point to let it go type of thing. So,
hey, man. Hey, I just want to say, man, congratulations to you, man. Over 200 episodes of being on the wrong side of the argument. But, who's counting?
Being on the wrong side of the argument. There's people that write in to say, why do I keep you two guys? I was doing so much better without you. But I told them that, here's the deal. The deal is I wanted two different opinions. Although most of the time it's my opinion and you two, but that's okay.
Really?
Nah, Jamal, I've given you credit, man. You've actually taken sides and stuff like that sometimes as well. So, where you've actually branched out.
I'm not held at gunpoint to a party.
Mm. Oh, Lord.
I have my own opinion.
Mm. We're back to that.
We are back to that. But at any rate, so today we're going to be talking about the Biden-Harris relationship. I mean, there's a lot of different people that that have given some different opinions about that, but it is what it is. We'll have some fun with it. I've had one person that's already kind of challenged on that with everything else that's going on out there. Why are we talking about Biden and Harris, the Biden-Harris relationship, as supposedly it doesn't exist, but that's not true. So we will talk about that. And it's just a soft subject for the last week. I didn't want to get into anything hard and fast and all that kind of stuff,
And let's be honest, man, it's one more time, man, to kick the liberals in the behind on the way out the door, man.
See, that wasn't my approach, man. I wasn't even thinking about that. It is what it is. Everybody's got an opinion, so we'll go for that. Let's start off by Jamal. What blast do you have for us this week, man?
My blast of the week.
On the way out the door, man. So what's the blast for this week?
My blast of the week, man, is I just received this not too long ago, but the guy in New York who pled guilty to 4 counts of rape and sexual assault. He was given only 8 years of probation and no jail time.
Wow.
I want to put him on blast. And they said girls. So I'm wondering, it didn't say women, it said girls. So I'm not sure the ages of them. This is not the first time. This happened in California also, where a kid, a college student raped a girl, and he was also given probation. And in both of these separate cases, the judge said, I don't feel like it benefits you to do any jail time.
And which state did this happen in?
New York. The other one was California.
The other one's California. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. Now, Here's the thing. I know everybody throws around the word white privilege. I don't know. Is it white privilege or is it social class privilege in terms of you having the money and the resources to get you off the hook?
Maybe it's what it is from another perspective, Jamal. Maybe it's the jurisdiction that they're in and who's running the jurisdiction. Because let's face it, L.A., we've got this maniac that's the district attorney out here now that's letting everybody off the hook no matter what the crimes are. New York, if it's New York City, we already know that they got a change in the program out there. Although they got a newly elected mayor that as soon as he gets in, the guy used to be a former police chief, I believe it was.
Let's correct something.
Okay.
The DA out here is trying to do fair sentencing across the board. He's trying to remove enhancements. He's not letting anybody off the hook. That's what the plan is. Fair penalties across the board.
Yeah, I do remember you do favor this guy, Jamal. So I guess I do have to be cautious about what I'm saying. Because for some reason, you're breathing into this and you drank the Kool-Aid with that guy. But that's fine.
A fair sentencing across the board? Yeah.
Well, it's not fair. Jamal, there's always been fair sentencing across the board. It's just that when there's an issue. Well, I know, Zell, you're a liberal, so you're never going to agree to it.
If you got enhancements, that's not the same across the board. And let's just face it.
An enhancement for murder or rape, okay, or that you're a gang enhancement because you're affiliated with a gang, in my opinion, Jamal. Yeah,
but we just had some.
Can I finish what I was saying? Or
sure.
I'm not allowed to. Okay.
Sure.
Just to be clear, that the enhancement, like the gang enhancements, where you got the additional time, it was because of the fact that you were affiliated with a gang that they did the enhancement because they're trying to deter the gang activity. That's the purpose of that.
Right.
So, you know, let's just be clear. Look, now here's the deal. The deal is we're never gonna agree on this kind of stuff. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
You guys all think that the judicial system is all screwed up and everything like that. And that's fine. You're entitled to your opinions.
Well, I don't think it's fair that he got probation after these 8 girls have been violated.
I don't think that's fair, Jamal.
Yeah.
I think that he should have gotten some good time. I don't think Jamal, you disagree with that.
I think what Jamal was saying was that's the point. That there are people that aren't in the socially economic classes or the races of these individuals, whether these are, offhand cases where people get off when they engage in this type of criminal activity. But you see lots of other people that aren't in these types of, socioeconomic classes where, the book is thrown at them. And I think that's what Jamal's point is.
No, I get that. I understand that fully. If he's African-American, that guy wouldn't have seen the day of life. I mean, I understand that. I understand what you guys are saying. It's not hard to understand. I'm just speaking in general about the judicial system. You guys all expect the judicial system to be perfect, and it's not. It's unfortunate. Okay, I don't disagree with that. I mean, it's like this kid that gets convicted. It was a couple of years ago, and the judge ended up not giving him his time, any time because of the fact that the kid supposedly, he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, so he didn't understand and appreciate the natures of his act. Okay, so he got off. And, that's the one where he and the mother ran to Mexico. Remember that one?
Yeah, it was called Affluenza.
Right, Affluenza.
He was so affluent that he didn't know right and wrong.
Right. Okay, so I don't disagree, okay, with those kind of situations. And I'm not saying that those things are fair.
But I think my argument, because there are a lot of mistakes, is why I'm not in favor of the enhancement, because it's not a perfect system. So why make it worse with enhancements?
At any rate, whatever the case may be, like I said before, this stuff's all beyond our control anyway. We could debate it all day long. The realities are, it is what it is. It's not a perfect system, and it's a shame for what it is. It's like this guy Murtaugh in South Carolina. This guy was a top criminal defense attorney down there. And I don't know if you guys have heard about him on the news, but his wife and son were the ones that were killed at their hunting cabin. This goes back about 6 months ago. And this guy had a lot of juice. It was in the Buford area. This guy had a lot of juice, basically, in controlling things that were happening with people going to jail, not going to jail, and all of that. And his son was involved in a boating accident. His son was drinking at the time. And this girl got killed, and then right away, supposedly, no action was going to be taken against this kid. But then the pressure mounted up, and they ended up where he was finally arrested, and he had a trial coming up. And now he gets killed, and the mother gets killed at the same time at this hunting cabin. The father turns around about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, and stages his own suicide attempt or an attempt on his life. Where supposedly he was on this lonely road, some guy stopped and shot him. And it comes out that this was a friend of his. It was all set up. And this guy has done things like, as a matter of fact, I just read yesterday or the day before. And he's been arrested, by the way, for all of this now, because he's also been arrested because of the death of his maid that died under suspicious circumstances and what happened to her insurance money. I mean, look, all of this stuff is out there. There's no doubt about that. So now he's on the hook now that apparently they found out where he took $5 million, maybe of clients' money as well. Mm-hmm. So this guy is now in jail. Okay. And his wife is dead and he has a remaining son. And supposedly the suicide was going to be because he wanted his son to be able to inherit or something, some money or whatever the case may be. So look, I'm not saying that there aren't things that happen that aren't right. Okay. But what is the percentage of those? You know, those percentages are not 90%, you know, maybe 5%, 10%. Hell, let's say 20%. That means 80% of the judicial system is still okay. It's like this first email. Let's get into this first email because it talks about the Rittenhouse decision, and then we can talk about that a little bit because it's all along the same lines, in my opinion. Jim, it is amazing that the liberal left and their media outlets continue to call Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist. Nothing in the trial showed that it was. It also came out that his mother never drove him across any state line. The gun was not an illegal gun, and he was found not guilty on all counts. Just goes to show you why CNN's ratings have continued to tank. That's from Jill from St. Louis, which is true if anybody follows those kind of percentages, but who knows. But at any rate, it's like the Rittenhouse decision. There are people that are out there protesting. I'm trying to figure out why are these people protesting in Portland regarding something that happened in Kenosha, and the Kenosha people aren't protesting. They're doing peaceful protests, excuse me. Whereas the other ones, they declared it as a riot in Portland. Now, why is Portland rioting behind this decision, which had absolutely nothing to do with them? They talk about the fact that you see a lot of black people out there rioting, the system's unfair. Well, wait a second. Unfair? He didn't kill a black person. Why are they involved, in my opinion, at this point? The system didn't work? Well, he had 12 jury members that found him not guilty. Who really messed up that, in my opinion, anyway, was the prosecution. And I tweeted this earlier today. The prosecution, in my opinion, screwed it up just like in the O.J. Simpson trial. These guys aren't perfect with what they do. But anyway, what's your feeling about, first of all, what's your feeling about the Rittenhouse decision?
You know, I'm just still not sure about the first person he shot. But the bottom line is, he's a 17-year-old kid out there with the rifle. He shouldn't have been out there in the first place. I don't know about, you know, Rosenbaum in terms of, I still don't know if Rosenbaum actually grabbed a gun, but it's not very wise to chase somebody with the AR-15 either. So, but he never hit him. I don't know. You know, it's a close call. To me, I don't want to compare it to like a football game to see if his toes was in, but it was close, and they wouldn't let us see that actual footage. So, I mean, I'm not going to argue with the decision one way or the other.
The trial was 2 weeks. You're arguing about one small part of it.
No, that's a huge
part. It was a two-week trial.
That's a huge part of it. But, however, I just hope that this doesn't create a crowd of people, of two-way extremists, Second Amendment extremists, that I hope this just doesn't encourage them to do more vigilante-type activity. That's all I hope.
You know what's always amazing to me is that when one person does something, everybody expects always that a whole group is going to do something because of one person. You know, look, this kid was there, in my opinion. He did a lot of things before. He was cleaning up graffiti. He was doing all kinds of good things, which was the reason why he was there. In my opinion, I do not agree with him being there. If that was one of my sons, there's no way in the hell I'd get all of that. But he wasn't on trial for that. He was on trial for murder.
Well,
that's the issue.
Well, before we make him out to be a saint, there was a video clip released of him like 15 days or 30 days prior to that, looking at a bunch of protesters saying, "I wish I had my AR-15 right now."
Was he on trial for that?
No, I didn't say he was on trial for that. I just said, let's not make him out to be a saint. He did what he was set out to do. And unfortunately, three people fell for the bait.
Okay, just to be clear, I wasn't making him out to be a saint. I said he shouldn't have been there in the first place. And I also tweeted out this morning that I don't agree, and I've talked about this on the show. I don't think civilians need to have those weapons at all. But they have them, you know, and end of story. I mean, if it's legal where they are and they have them, that's what it is. Nothing I can do about that. Zayla, what's your opinion?
The judicial system worked the way that it was supposed to work. The system was set up to protect people that look like Rittenhouse and not like people that look like us. Because we all know, and I think you can agree, if that was a black kid walking around with an AR-15 in Kenosha to protect businesses, the police wouldn't have walked right by him and let him go. He wouldn't have been able to shoot three people and then go home and sleep at home. And so when Jamal and I are talking about the judicial system having issues and the criminal justice system having issues, that's the stuff that we're talking about. If he had gotten snatched up, like a black kid would have gotten snatched up in the exact same situation and circumstance, it would be a different story. But we know that that's not what we have here. And so what Jamal is indicating, and I know that you're trying to diminish the fact that some of this evidence that was important to us, that we saw out in the public, wasn't evidence that was presented and available to the jury. Does that mean that the defense did a great job and the prosecution did a crappy job? Perhaps. But some of that's left to the judicial discretion. And so the judge has a lot of flexibility to decide what evidence to allow and not allow in regard to this case. And like I said, and like we discussed like last week or the week before when we were talking about this, cases are won or lost based on the evidence that the jury is able to see. And we here on the outside were able to see a lot more evidence, including him wearing a shirt saying free as F, you know, doing the white power symbol with known white supremacists. And so some of that could go towards motive. I know that the people that were killed were white, but, you know, these are all issues that the judge didn't feel was important for the jury to know or felt that it would sway them away from their ability to rule on this objectively. It's what our system set up to do.
First of all, the jury was not sequestered. So the jury gets to go home, which they did every night, and they probably turned on their TV and they saw all the things that we're talking about because they weren't sequestered. I don't agree with you walking around with an AR-15. That's going to draw a crowd of police officers. I don't deny that. I'm not arguing any of that. Okay, but that's not to say that every police officer that saw him either would say, oh, we got a couple of comments. One person saying protesters will not have to carry weapons to protect themselves from any would-be Rambo. Really? Let's just be clear that on that particular night, he was not the only one that had a gun. And the prosecution's star witness testified that he had a gun and he pointed the gun at Rittenhouse. And that's when Rittenhouse shot him. So there were plenty of guns that were out there that night. Not just his one lonely gun, okay? I'm sorry, Zeller. Was there any part you were going to add to that?
Yeah, the part that I was going to add is that that sequestering the jury isn't necessarily the ultimate factor. You know, when the judge lets them, sequestering the jury is locking them up in a hotel so that they can't interact with anybody else and go home and stuff. But you do think that the judge was not providing them with instructions not to look at the news, not to read the newspaper, not to, you know, interact? That's still part of the process.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. So I'm sure those probably jurors never went home and turned on the TV. Look, again, we can debate this all day long. I'm not disagreeing the theory of what you're talking about. All I'm saying is that the jury gets to hear the evidence as it is permitted to come in. I don't disagree with that. The jury has to be, the judge has to be able to control what comes in. It's like when the prosecuting attorney came up and said, well, you know what? After he got arrested, he was silent. Well, now, wait a minute. Yes. So here's the flip side.
We went over that last week, right? I think it was last week.
Yeah. And he wasn't allowed to do that. So look, these judges, they have absolute power over that courtroom. Okay. And if the judge does something out of line, that is subject to an appeal. Okay. That could be subject to an appeal. So, you know, even the judges can get called on the car. Listen, Zeller, we've handled hearings where we got judges reversed, okay, because they make mistakes. You know, so it happens that way. We get it, okay? Again, I will still say the same thing. It is not a perfect system, okay? But it is what it is. But 12 people still decided, not 11, okay, out of 12. Mm-hmm. 12 people decided that based upon the evidence and the jury instructions, I tell you, the jury instruction was 36 pages. I've got it right. You guys probably haven't read it. Okay, it's 36 pages. Okay, I don't understand how a layperson would personally understand all this.
I
listened to it as the judge was reading it. I got lost. I had like 5 minutes.
Jury instructions aren't easy. Yeah. You know? And this stuff is written in ways that's intended for attorneys to understand. It isn't really set up for lay people to be able to understand it.
Right.
So I get that.
36 pages. I'm reading this 36 pages, okay? And I've got a background to read this. It is what it is. But lay people to read it and to fully understand it, it's probably tough. They probably went with some of the basics, quite frankly. You know, and did the best that they could. That's probably why it took them, what, 3 days or 4 days, you know, to come up with a decision, just trying to get through and understand the jury instructions. But again, that's all a part of the judicial system. You know, so, again, there's nothing that we can do about that. I think that I personally think that in terms of what they charge them with, and that's another mistake. They tried to, at the end, tried to get the charges against Rittenhouse with some alternatives. Well, you should have done that from the beginning. You know, you don't do it after the fact. They started that indictment 2 days after this all went down. There was no proper investigation. Otherwise, the number one guy for them wouldn't have testified. Oh, yeah, I pointed the gun at him first. They didn't know that? Please. Yeah. That didn't make any sense to me.
See, it's amazing. All those guns out there, and the only one that hurt somebody was the 17-year-old. That could have been stopped by the police saying, hey, guys, guess what? Law enforcement's here. Thank you. You can go home now. We take over from here.
Well, I got a text message. Protesters today have guns on them. I don't think if he was black, the police would have approached him. They had orders to stand down, which is true. They did. Do you think that they would have wanted to shoot a black person at that event? Well, now think about something. With everything going on, going back to what we were talking about earlier, do you think a white police officer would have shot, okay, a black person that day, no matter what was going on, considering why the protests were going on in the first place?
Yes. We had an incident going on, then they shot somebody in the back seven times. That incident that happened, was it a week or 2 weeks after the first incident happened? Like, so do I think, yeah, that's easy to say.
So on the cameras, with that event,
absolutely,
they had shot a black person on camera with all of that. Wouldn't matter. Okay, well, that's actually your opinion.
We've seen it several times. Yes.
Right. And the percentages are so low, hopefully we won't see it again. But police officers right now are probably afraid to shoot anybody, quite frankly. But that's besides the point. Did you hear about the police officer that lost his job because he contributed $25 to the defense fund for Rittenhouse?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he contributed on his own time, own money, $2,500. I guess his police department checks their social media accounts and all of that kind of stuff. And for $25 that he contributed, they turned around and fired him.
So was he in violation of company policy?
On his own time? The answer?
I don't know.
No, he's on his own time.
Because I thought cops are cops 24 hours a day.
In terms of enforcing the law, Jamal, that has nothing to do with enforcing the law.
But there's anything in law?
Made a contribution. He didn't make it on behalf of the police department. Zeller, go ahead.
If there's anything unlawful in regards to his termination, I'm sure he will grieve it. And if he's supposed to get his job back, he'll get his job back.
The grievance is scheduled. He's in a union. He's a police officer. It's scheduled for January.
There you go.
I suspect he'll get his job back, because that to me is nonsense. I mean, I didn't contribute anything to Rittenhouse's fund. I mean, I wouldn't have done that personally, but he did. He felt to do it. So he's at $25. I'm sure that $25 did not go very far.
can I ask a follow-up question? Because I think this is the one that Jamal and I were talking about offline. What about the, you know, Rittenhouse being viewed as a hero and, you know, people offering him internships to work as you know, for legislators and all that kind of stuff? What are your thoughts in regards to that?
I don't agree with any of that. I mean, I don't, you know, he's a hero. I don't look at him as a hero. I looked at him as a dumb kid that got caught up. He never should have been there. Okay. And he was lucky to get off. That's how I look at it. But there's people out, listen, we're dealing with people's emotions out here with all of this stuff. People out there, we live in a very crazy system. We live in a system where people are allowed to express themselves, who they find as their heroes and all of those kind of things. That's part of what we are in America. Do I agree that he's a hero and he should be, you know, there should be a parade and he should get all these opportunities, in my opinion? I don't believe in that. No, I don't agree with that. But that's not to say that there aren't people out there that may view him that way. And that's on them. It's not on me. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you think about the kind of people that we have running around this country, people who make Kyle Rittenhouse a hero, the one that made the people was making George Zimmerman a hero. They even was even trying to auction his gun, mm-hmm. like nearly hundreds of thousands. The gun that killed Trayvon Martin,
yeah,
for hundreds of thousands of dollars. That tells you how many sick people we have in our country, man.
I don't disagree with that. I think that I remember that. I think that was ridiculous.
An unarmed child. That's crazy.
I fully agree. Okay? I fully agree with all of that. But that's the country that we live in. And I don't think that I think that we can all agree that there's just individuals out there that are like this, and there's nothing that none of us can say or do about it. It's just that simple. Look, I already told you, you guys have heard me speak before. There's over 900 hate groups out there in this country. Over 900. Mm-hmm. I forget what the new number is, but it's 9-something. All right? What does that tell you? That tells you because we're a country that lets people speak their minds and do and say what they want to say, okay, if it's quote-unquote within the guidelines of the law, they can say it. It's like when I talk about international and domestic terrorism. They have international terrorists that have websites in our country that people can go to, and we can't shut them down because of the First Amendment. And some of these people are becoming radicalized. They go online, they look this stuff up, and they become radicalized. I mean, that's who this country is. You know, I don't agree with some of this stuff, so what we try to do is just filter through it, live our lives as safe as possible, and end of story.
Right.
You know, let me get on to this other, what time is it? Yeah. Jim, I saw that this is your last show. I am disappointed. I've been listening the whole time and have enjoyed it. You gave much on safety, current events, and political analysis. Thanks. That's from Jake from Phoenix, Arizona. Third one, Jim, is there any chance that you will be back on the air again one day? And that's from Brenda from San Antonio, Texas. Well, you know, thank you to the person that sent that email in. And I got a number of those. So, you know, I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that we do appreciate people that have been consistent listeners for us. I know Jim from New Jersey has mm-hmm. listened to us consistently. And he's always texting us, even though he's not on the air like he was at one time. So he just sends in the, messages and things like that. We just don't mention this Jim from Jersey. But we appreciate everybody that's listened all of this time. Whether I'm going to be back, we're going to be back on the air one day. I don't know. You know, I've done almost 200 shows. It's kind of like time for a break, whatever the case may be. I'm in the process of writing 2 books, and that's taking up my time right now. So I'm going to leave it, you know, with that for the time being. So it takes a lot to prepare for this stuff and get mm-hmm. ready. So it's just, you know, it is what it is. But I won't say I'm never going to do it again. So, but for right now, I need a break. If that changes, we will be sure to send an email out to our regular listeners and saying, hey, we're back on the air. I may eliminate Zayla because he never has anything to add of any importance. And maybe I'll get a more moderate, you know, one on the left. Maybe I'll get Joe Manchin or Joe Manchin if they're, you know.
So get Jim from Jersey.
Huh?
All right, get Jim from Jersey.
Oh, Jim from Jersey. Oh, no. No, he'd be too radical, man. I can't get him, man. I can't get him. But at any rate, so we do appreciate that. Let's talk about Kamala Harris, okay? And I know we all have opinions about that. Look, Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris as his running mate. And any president, to me, or presidential candidate, has a right to pick anybody they want for whatever reason they want. So he chose her. That's fine. You know, that was on the Democratic side, so I really didn't care who he picked, quite frankly. You know, so whether they're happy, not happy, whatever the case may be, that's a whole different ball game, you know, at this point. You know, but those situations sometimes break down. I don't know of any president before these two that may have had issues, because sometimes that stuff doesn't come out until somebody writes a book later on. Right now, there's some issues, and I'm going to read some of the stuff that's come across that I was able to research. Now, this is the Daily Mail, and this is a British newspaper. okay, just talking about this. And I'm telling you, people get information. There's ample evidence that the relationship between the two principals at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue has cooled considerably. Others say that the couple has already reached to a point of political divorce. Going on, they're saying that the Daily Mail looked at data regarding Harris's schedule compiled by the LA Times and found that the president and vice president had appeared in public together just two times in the 55-day period ending at the end of October. Only two times. The other point that they're making is that, meanwhile, in the months of January and February, 38 days of the administration's time, the two appeared 27 times together in public. And there was an additional further joint meetings or joint appearances in March and April as well. So they're saying, and look, to me, you know, people don't have, they got too much time on their hands, in my opinion, with some of this, okay? It's like, you know, even when people make comments about Biden, like they made comments about Trump. Oh, did you see he was wearing that tie? It was a little off. I mean, people, to me, get ridiculous with some of this stuff. I mean, people may pick at Joe Biden about some of these different things. It's like little crap, you know, that to me, you know, move on. Don't find every little single thing, you know, to talk about. But there's people out there like that. The media, they're out there like that. That's their job, I guess, in a certain respect. But, you know, I don't like that. So let me read a couple more things. Vice President Harris has plunged to 28% approval rating. I don't know if you guys know this or not. In a recent poll, and Joe Biden is apparently not too happy. One report says she's not even considered to be Biden's successor in the White House anymore. Joe Biden's relationship with Kamala Harris is in crisis with her staff. Furious that she's being sidelined while the president's team are increasingly frustrated by how she is playing with the American public. It seems like the left is making plenty of excuses for Harris's ongoing failures. They are openly saying it is Biden's fault she's doing so badly because he didn't prepare her. It also appears that Biden's staff are none too pleased with Harris's constant disappearing act. She was a no-show when Biden was getting blamed for Afghanistan. She's done little to defend Biden's unconstitutional vaccine mandate, letting him take the brunt of America's outrage. And as we suffer inflation and supply chain crisis, she's jetting off to France. You know, I don't know. I mean, do you guys have any broad opinions about this?
Yeah, for one, you know, you said the first one was from the British newspaper.
I got more from here, but yeah.
Well, who cares about what the Brits think? They're still mad we beat them. You know, Brits got their own problems, man. Like, I care less about British. You know, mine's business. You know what I mean? I'm not a fan of Joe Biden, but, you know, they're still ours to deal with. But as far as Kamala Harris, I mean, my opinion has always kind of been the same. You picked her for all the wrong reasons, and you get what you get. She was never qualified for this position from the beginning, in my opinion. This stuff is way over her head. They shouldn't have thrown her out there, but now, I don't know, they got to clean up the mess as best as they can.
Taylor, any broad strokes on this?
Yeah, so what I'll say is, from a historical perspective, Harris is one of the least qualified vice presidents. Normally, our history has been that the vice presidents have had more experience than the president, right? We can look at Obama for that. We can look at, you know, Bush, absolutely. You know. And so when you look at it from that perspective.
Well, Trump, because Pence had a lot of experience.
Pence had more experience. Exactly. Pence had more experience than Trump. So it is a different dynamic from that perspective. And so when Biden went in under Obama, I mean, he's the one that had all the heft and all the weight and all the experience in Washington. So that's an interesting, you know, dynamic from that perspective. But remember, like, I know you have a list, Jim, probably in regards to some of the things that Harris was tasked with addressing, you know, including the border, which has been an issue in our country forever. And so the fact that she hasn't been able to solve that in the 11 months she's been in office, I guess, is all her fault. And she should get kicked out for it.
That is absolute trash. Because, and the reason why I say that, okay, nobody is saying she should get kicked out for that. Okay, so let's just be clear. Number two, We know that there's been an issue at the border, okay? And she's not being held accountable for 30 years about what's happening at the border. The issue is that under the Trump administration, all of these people were not coming across. Biden basically opened up his arms and said, come on, but don't come. And then they said, now let me tell you, Kamala Harris, from what I'm reading, because I still have things in front of me, Kamala Harris was not happy about the fact that she got assigned to that task, because quite frankly, that's like trying to hold a tidal wave back with a spoon, in my opinion. So
it's a losing proposition.
That exactly. So that, in my opinion, is not her fault. But what did Biden do? Biden threw her to the wolves on this issue to take the heat off of himself regarding this, in my opinion. So I don't fault Kamala Harris. They were talking about she didn't go to the border. And then when she did go to the border, she went to some little ticky-tack town because she finally went under the pressure because they kept saying, when you going, when you going? So to satisfy them, she goes to this little ticky-tack town that's not even in the middle of the fray. Okay, it's way off on the edge somewhere, and to say, oh, I went to the border. Okay, well, she did what she had to do under those circumstances, in my opinion. But she is not happy with that. She's not happy with the fact, and this is what I'm reading, she's not happy with the fact that he even assigned the triangle, for her to meet with the triangle, because once again, it's what you just said. She's got no experience for any of these things. Joe Biden, when he ran, and even when he was vice president, the reason why he got the vice president spot was because he had all of this international connections. He had all of these kind of things. For him to throw Harris out there, and I just read you where they were talking about that Biden is not adequately preparing her for these things. He's just throwing her out there. Now, look, I'm like you, Jamal. I'm not a Kamala Harris fan, okay? Didn't like it when she was in California during the election process. Now, she didn't even carry California during the primaries. So she's not a very well-liked person for a lot of different reasons, okay? But, you know, in fairness to her, she doesn't have the experience, and sending her to handle these kind of things, in my opinion, is not good. So her team is the team that's upset with the two teams are fighting, because, come on, the reality is that she's expecting that when these 4 years are up, that she's going to have an opportunity to run for president. And we know who she is. We know that she is a power hungry type of individual. So we know that. Okay. And now that she's in there, you know, she's going to create waves. If those waves, you know, are keeping her from getting where she needs to be. The poll numbers are the poll numbers. And the reason why she's upset about the poll numbers, I'm sure, is because of the fact that they have, because of the tasks, quote unquote, that are being given to her, are not good tasks, and that's hurting her. It speaks for itself. So, you know, I don't. Hey, go ahead, Jamal.
Do you ever remember watching Scooby-Doo as a kid? And at the end, they would pull the mask off a person and end up being somebody else. You know, this power hungry stuff kind of reminds me of somebody else. I'm starting to feel like this is Hillary. And wearing a mask.
I didn't want to use those words because I didn't want Jim from Jersey calling us because he loves Hillary.
Running around.
And now we got to say she'll never get the nomination.
She would have got away with it if it wasn't for those meddling kids. And this is what I'm starting to feel like with Kamala Harris, man.
Well, here's the funny thing that folks will call the vice president power hungry for wanting to run for president after. Is there a vice president? Because I know, Jim, I've referenced this before, and I know that you know history better than anybody since you're the one that's a history major. Has there been a vice president that didn't want to run for president, that had the opportunity and chose not to do
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
None in our recent past.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm a little bit older than you.
But Z, we know Kamala has done some very questionable things that I won't mention to move her way up into power.
And that's what I'm talking about. So when I said she's power hungry, I'm not talking about because she's in that office now. I'm talking about her history is what I'm talking about.
I'm just concerned in regards to, sorry, really quick. I'm just concerned in regards to using the language power hungry as opposed to ambitious. And so I would think that if this was a man that was the vice president and he was doing the same thing, they would say that he was ambitious. I don't know.
That's what that liberal left crap, okay, is always right away it was a man. I don't give a
rap. Power hungry.
If they had, let me tell you something. If they had other people, okay, that, you know, a female that was running for president, there's some females, I think, you mentioned Susan Rice, okay? She would have been, I wouldn't have objected, well, it didn't matter because I wasn't going to vote for them anyway, but Susan Rice, But there's other people that are out there that are females that may make a good president or a good vice president. I can tell you something. I bet you Nikki Haley's going to run for something, okay, or get picked up as vice president. You know, I so don't give me this gender crap, okay? It has nothing to do with her gender. I could care less, okay?
Power hungry.
Oh, you know who they, you know who else they want? Candace Owens to run for president.
That's well, I don't y'all can have her. She does not have the experience, okay?
Oh, neither did
Trump.
Neither did 45.
I understand that, yeah. but he ended up getting elected, but I don't think, well, so does Barack Obama. Now, what was he, 2 years in the Senate? And he got elected.
He had some experience.
He was on the, please. Hey, listen, Ted Kennedy picked him to run and used his influence to get that man into the White House. Period. Amen. Now, we know that. Okay? Wait, let me back up. That's not to say that Barack Obama wasn't really an intelligent guy, in my opinion. I think he's very smart. Don't misunderstand any of that. I'm glad that he was elected president because of the fact that he was African American and it broke that barrier. I'm happy about that. I don't necessarily agree with everything that he did when he was president. There was things I disagreed with, and that's just the way that it works. We don't have to agree 100% with all of these individuals. I'm getting stuff from left and right here. Okay, now this person is talking about Beto in Texas is getting ready to run for governor. He's an example of somebody that's power hungry, whatever. You know, but Jamal, I agree with you about Hillary Clinton. I think that she is a power hungry individual. There's no two ways about it.
Definitely. Hey, I meant to ask you a question, man, before, you know, and I'm not trying to throw a jab at you, man, but I'm just kind of curious. What was the percentage of this wall that was built?
I don't remember.
Oh, the wall at the border?
Yeah.
That 45
was this great wall that he was going to build. What was the percentage?
It wasn't 10%. I think he was like 60 or 70%, Jamal. It was a high number.
Oh, okay.
It was a high number. It wasn't like 10%. I mean, it was a high number. I'm sorry, Zayla, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask for clarification. And so this was 60% of new walls that were built as opposed
Wait. Listen, I just got through saying I'm not sure of all of the statistics.
Okay,
I don't know about what was built. Yeah, recently, did you see what they're doing? They're putting those carriers, you know, like those product carriers like you see stacked up, those empty trailers. You know the ones that carry product in? They're now lining, Texas is lining those up right on the edge of the water there on the Rio Grande to keep people from coming across. So they put those there now in some part of Texas. I don't know exactly what part it is. Okay. So I don't know about the percentages. Maybe one of the listeners can turn around and text and say what part of the wall was put up there. But I want to tell you something. You were talking about from England, Jamal, on the you don't care what the English people said. But I did my research because I wanted to make sure that Mr. Zeller would not accuse me of something that I got this crap from Fox News,
the Daily Mail.
So I'm gonna hold this up so you can. Wait. What does that say? CNN confirms there is a bitter feud. Can you guys read that? Between Biden's and Kamala Harris, White House is now in full disarray. And that is CNN.
Full disarray.
That is not Fox News. So just to be clear. So let's talk full about disarray. Fox News. Let's talk about what CNN says. Nearly three dozen former and current Harris aides, administration officials, Democratic operatives, donors, and outsider advisors who spoke extensively to CNN reveal a complex reality inside the White House. And as what they're saying is that she is sometimes forgotten, she's not put into positions to lead, and the administration ought to be using her more. The language is unsparing in its depiction of Kamala's abject frustration. Many in the vice president's circle fume that she's not being adequately prepared or positioned and instead is being sidelined. CNN reports the vice president herself has told several confidants she feels constrained in what she's able to do politically, and those around her remain wary of even hinting at future political ambitions, with Biden's team highly attuned to signs of disloyalty, particularly from the vice president. Now, there's also They're talking about the relationship between between Jill Biden and Harris. So this is them now. Jill Biden and Kamala Harris have been in extended, are you ready for this? These are not my words, cat fights, even before they stepped into the White House. Because then they talked about the debate that they had when Kamala, remember when Kamala Harris basically called the man a racist? Jill Biden, after that, said, with what he cares about, what he fights for, what he's committed to, you get up there and call him a racist without basis, go F yourself. Jill Biden told Harris bluntly. Her vulgar salvo was cited in a piece by Political Magazine as well. So it's not just here. Wait, somebody else, a lot of news sources have been saying that about Biden and Harris. So, right. And I agree. So it is out there that, the honeymoon is over. So I just think that that's interesting. So, hey, I agree with you, Jamal. You know, you get what you.
Why Jill Biden mad? She was with him when he was doing all that stuff and saying all that stuff. Why is she mad at Kamala?
Well, one has to wonder. Well, you tell me. With all of that, okay, and the fact that she called him out in the debate, that goes to show you who she is. But she was trying. Look, she's up on a stage trying to get a nomination. So I'm not mad at her for coming out.
You know, shout out to Jill Biden, man. She's supposed to hold her man down at all costs. I get it.
She was upset, no doubt about it. Yeah. You know, but, you know, she wanted to be first lady also. She didn't appreciate Kamala Harris doing that. And they were shocked. I mean, even at the time that that happened, that's when a lot of people say, whoa, because of the relationship between her and Joe Biden's son, you know, the one that passed away. So they were really shocked that she would stab Joe in the back like that, but that just goes to show you.
She was ambitious.
Power, because we didn't want to upset Zelda.
Power hungry.
So ambitious hungry. Okay, we'll call it ambitious hungry.
Starving.
But look, starving. All of these politicians, I'm not going to disagree with that. All of these politicians, they want to get to the next level. All of these politicians want what? Another term. You know, right. So I get all of that, you know, and they're planning on running her for president. And, you know, she's not going to have a platform if she can't get more play as vice president. And that's really the bottom line. So if I'm the one representing her, you know, we would probably be complaining about the same thing because she doesn't have the experience against some of those people that may run. Now, I heard Biden say yesterday, was it yesterday? I think we saw where Biden told one of his confidential people that, yeah, he's going to run again. Run again? How old is this guy? I mean, he runs again. He's going to be, in his 80s?
Wasn't Trump older than him?
Come on, man. Huh?
Isn't Trump older than him?
No.
They're like almost the same age?
They're close to the same age. If either of them won the presidency, it would have been the oldest president ever elected.
Yeah.
Right. Well, hopefully Trump's not going to win again. I don't even want to think about that.
Oh, okay. If Kamala's running, we got to deal with 4 more years of Trump, man, if Kamala runs. That's for sure, man. But look, good news for Trump. Alec Baldwin won't be around to do SNL skits for the next 4 years if he wins.
Why is that?
Cool, man. Because what they're talking about, Alec Baldwin was playing around with that gun when he shouldn't have been playing around with it.
I know. So is there criminal charges against him?
He got all kind of lawsuits going on right now.
Those are lawsuits, okay? But they're still criminally investigating it, okay? But some of these people, and one of these people was a scriptwriter. Somebody just typed it. She's waiting on Joe to croak. Hey, he went in for a colonoscopy the other day, so which means that she was temporarily president, you know, because when he goes under, you know, so she was temporarily president. And I'm like, I told some people, I said, well, if I was Jill Biden, I'd be standing right there the whole time to make sure Kamala didn't sneak in there and pull that plug or do something, you know. Who knows? But I don't know what's going to happen. You know, this man's going to make it to 4 years. But I'll be honest. I don't want to see him run for president again, and I don't want to see Trump run for president again. I think we need some new blood in there, period.
I agree.
And some younger blood in there.
I agree.
Not some of these, you know, far left people. I'm talking about people that have at least 20 years experience. As a matter of fact, maybe they ought to make that up. Well, it's 3:49 already, man. Hey, we gotta stop talking about this. Hey,
I need to go talk to Trey Gowdy, man, and give him some words of encouragement, man.
Man, he's sick of this stuff. Hey, look, man, it's 3:49, so it looks like we're just about done, guys. I just want to say, Jamal and Zaylor, it's been almost a pleasure having you on the show. you have definitely helped me inspire this situation, and maybe even inspired me to say I'm giving this up. No, not really. We just got a thing saying, hey, we're going to miss you guys. People are sending us little hearts and stuff like that. So,
hey, thank you guys.
It's been fun. We really appreciate everybody that's listening, that has listened to us in the past. And who knows, you may be hearing from us again. Okay, guys, it's time to sign off. Say goodbye, everybody.
Hey, goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now. Absolutely. See you next time.
Yeah. Take care. Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.